Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you. Well, I'll only be here for 2 hours today. We've got an interview lined up now. Then at between 1 and 2, I'll have our private investigator, Peter, to come and tell us what he's been up to. And we couldn't have him last month, so it'll be great to catch up with him again. And then between 2 and 3, the Council Connection show on with Michael Good, Rich and Kate. So it's 3 hours of community radio coming up and Community Connections. But first of all, I've spoken to this man in front of me on a couple of occasions, one of them only being about 2 weeks ago, and the person who recommended me to him quite some time ago said he's the most positive man they've ever heard from, and it is true. He's a very, very positive man. And we talked all about positivity 2 weeks ago, but during that conversation, he dropped a little, well, I don't say it's a clanger, but he is one of the board members of Yarra Valley Water. And he started talking about, oh, I'm on this other group and that other group. So I'm really keen to talk to him because most of us, until there's a drought, we don't think anything about water. We go, we turn the tap on, and if it's there, it's there. When a drought comes, we all panic and think, are we ever going to get water again? And we think no more about it. Now, Yarra Valley Water, as I understand it, and we're going to go through this with Victor because the interview is not about me, is that Yarra Valley Water and a number of other groups are what they call retail suppliers of water. We buy our water from them. But from what, in the very few seconds that Victor mentioned last time, he talked about other tiers. So I'm really keen because, as I say, we don't give a lot of thought to water. And also, before we go, Victor wants to tell you about an opportunity because they are upgrading the Hillsville sewerage plant. But first of all, I've had a long ramble. How are you, Victor?
I'm exceptionally well, Alan. Since we got together, I've had some remarkable things happen. One of your competitors, yep. Trevor Chappell, had me on radio overnight. And yep. Fantastic opportunity to talk about optimism again and yep. people calling in from all over the country and around the world. And then the other thing that happened to me was the National Australia Bank yep. published its wellbeing report.
Saw that, yeah.
And the addendum was all about an interview with me and how optimism impacts on well-being. So, your listeners, if you're interested, just do a Google on NAB, well-being and optimism, and it's a terrific report from the National Australia Bank.
And we mentioned it last time, the Financial Review also put you as a guru, wasn't it, of optimism?
If ever I was a lucky man, Alan, this interview with the Financial Review, their yep. photographer took me up into the flower fields of Monbulk. And she took 2 hours, 800 shots, to get this shot of me with my hands uplifted in an orange blazer in a field of flowers.
Terrific.
And the interviewer, again, what was interesting was that the article sort of said, the writer said, I started out, I'm a bit negative, I'm yep. a bit worried about the world, but after I left interviewing Victor, I thought, well, let me give it a go. Let me try and be a little bit more optimistic and, you know, just yeah. to ask some questions like, what's been the best thing in your day?
I was going to say, and that's one of the things that you impressed on me, that when you go into places and they say, how are you? And we all just say, oh, yeah, all right, thanks, that we should actually turn it back and say, well, what's the best thing that's happened to you? However, we've talked optimism, and well, I'm happy to talk about any time, but am I right that there is more levels of water? Because we all deal with, say, Yarra Valley Water or one of the others. Are there other levels of water and what do they actually do?
Yeah, sure. So since before the 1990s, it all came from the Melbourne Metropolitan Board of Works, yep. which was a very powerful organisation that sometimes would test its authority against the state government itself. And, you know, Henry Bolte had to call them in and Dick Hamer and those sorts of guys. And then it was reformed in the 1990s, this yep. notion of having smaller organisations.
And competing with each other, isn't it, on a retail level?
Competing. They're monopolies locally. So, yep. you know, hard to build a second water pipe.
Yep.
So they're monopolies locally. They do compete in terms of performance.
Yep.
So you report and, you know, we're trying to get the greatest efficiencies out of them. So my work, I'm on the board of Yarra Valley Water, which provides the water and the sewage for the people in Healesville and the surrounding areas. So if you look at your bill, it's probably us billing you. And then I'm also an elected member of a board called Vic Water. And so that represents...
I'm keen to find out what that's all about.
Yeah, so Vic Water is a representative body that represents all of the water utilities across Victoria and the catchment management authorities.
Right.
And what we're trying to do there is bring together the expertise so that we're running the water companies better, we're understanding, you know, worker safety, so, consumer safety.
Can I just stop you only for one tick? So, because I don't quite understand, is that the top of the tree or is there...
Oh, sorry, if we talk about governance,
yeah.
So the shareholder for Yarra Valley Water is the Minister for Water.
Right.
So she's the ultimate, you know, top
right.
In the governance structure. So we've got a board that acts independently and runs the company to the best of our efficiency.
Yeah.
We report to the minister and to the parliament.
But
so and then there's Melbourne Water, which is a wholesaler for water and a wholesaler for sewage. So we buy the water from Melbourne Water.
So they're on a different level to what Yarra Valley Water and the level companies are, because you're actually purchasing the water from them.
Yeah, so we're a customer from them.
Yep.
And in respect of sewage, for instance, we do our own. So, for instance, here in Healesville, we actually process it and cleanse it. And last time I was here, I'd actually come from our sewage treatment plant here in Healesville, and the workers had taken me round all the ponds and all the treatments, and I was looking at the water saying, gosh, that looks clean. And they were saying, well, maybe don't drink it yet, Victor. Don't drink it yet. So we've got our own treatment plants, but what we don't treat, we then send back to Melbourne Water to treat at Werribee.
Yeah.
You know, that's that fantastic treatment plant there that's been there since the last century. So they're really, they're not above us in the tree, they're a wholesaler.
Right. So... Then the other group that you mentioned earlier on, so where do they come into the picture?
So Vic Water is all of the water companies have joined together because, like, if your shareholder is the Minister for Water, you know, are you able to be robust and strong when you're challenging policy?
Yep.
Right, you might see things that you want to change. So it's much easier to have a group of us. So I'm on the board of Vic Water.
Yep.
Much easier for us at Vic Water to go to the Minister and say, you know, X needs reform, or, you know, where the pricing system needs to change, or the regulatory system needs to change. Or, for instance, your listeners might be interested. Currently, the government is rewriting the Clean Drinking Water regulations, and quite complex, you know, exactly how you do it. And so, you know, for instance, they've got a provision in their draft regulations which could probably trigger more boil water notices, you know, from false readings.
Yep.
So for us, we go back to the health department and we say, look, there's a better way of doing this. You don't want to batter confidence in the water system through publicising chemical tests that are actually wrong.
Yeah.
And again, if your listeners are interested, they can just, if they Google clean drinking water regulations, there's the opportunity to participate in that. One thing, of course, I love to always say when I come to Healesville and I fill my water bottles and I drink, the water in Healesville last year was judged the best tasting drinking water in Victoria
and came
second in Australia. Right. So Healesville is the place to drink tap water.
And I'm drinking some now.
Then the other thing I do is there's the Intelligent Water Networks, which is, again, where we all come together. Yep. I call myself the dumbest person at the Intelligent Water Network. Yep. They've made me the ambassador there. So that's where we test stuff.
Yep.
So like nanobubbles to try and better improve sewage treatment, or ways of taking human waste and turning it into carbon products for agriculture. So a whole lot of experiments. So I love it. I mean, for me, you know, you say most people only think about water when you switch on the tap. It's an instinct, isn't it?
Yep.
You don't even think about it.
Yep.
When you go to the loo, you just press the button.
Yep.
You don't think about where it's going to go. But for me, it's actually extraordinarily interesting extraordinarily fun.
I've got to take a quick break, but I can see you're very, you are very animated.
Helping others, try and help the others, sensing righteous freedom, mend each other's reasons. Hold your spirit today, pray for the ray of sunshine, hold on to the moment, expel your inner grind. Just another fantasy, go and live by the sea, exploring others' ideas, drying all the tears. Hold your spirit today, break the ray of sunshine, hold on to the moment, expel your inner grind. You can't escape my presence, watching greedy peasants, sitting all the time, go write another rhyme. Hold your spirit today, break the ray of sunshine, hold on to the moment, expel your inner grind. Examine your inner haven, respecting common folk. You are not broken, crying in the river again. Examining what's on tread, escaping broken friendships, sucking face with your lips, crying in the river again. Remembering your face, sucking face with your lips, remembering your presence.
Welcome back, and we're talking to Victor Purton, and he's part of the board of Yarra Valley Water. But we're talking about water in general. Now, I think anything that can protect our assets or protect our future is well worth doing. But I was actually listening to radio the other day, and I don't even know where I was or how I happened to hear it, but people are still saying we should never have built the desal plant. But I'm not of that opinion, to be honest, and I don't want to get into the politics of it, but, I mean, anything that can do that, I don't want to go through another drought. Victor, can I just ask you, when they built that desal plant, and this is nothing political, it's based down there in Wonthaggi, and I know when I used to go down that way for work, they were digging pipes. So how far did they have to pipe that before they got into an established line of pipes that we already had?
Well, that's a good question. So
when a politician says
I'd argue that it was, if you remember the Millennium Drought,
yep.
You know, the dams were, you know, getting near empty.
Bondi Doon was empty.
Yeah, and so, you know, the notion that there was an emergency,
yep.
Something that hadn't happened here,
yep.
You know, for probably 100 years, said that they built. Now, building it at the last moment,
yep.
you're held to ransom by the unions, you're held to ransom by the contractors. May have cost too much. I think it's absolutely necessary. And if you look, for instance, at the western part of the state now, yep. They've actually had a very, very dry period.
Absolutely.
So I would argue that it was necessary. And we're actually buying water from the desal yep. plant to keep the dams at a level where you're not getting down to the point of sediment and the like. So I would argue we may, in fact, even need a second one.
Yep.
And the alternative is to recycle water.
Yep.
And I think, you know, every time Australians have been asked to make a decision on it, find it unpalatable. And yet, when they go to Singapore on holidays, half of the Singapore water is a shandy.
Yep.
of recycled water and rainwater.
Yep.
And the other choice is, of course, to capture stormwater, but cleaning stormwater is a lot more expensive than cleaning up recycled. Now, the thing with recycled water, of course, is humans are so reliable.
Yep.
Every morning at 7 o'clock, there's a lot of water and poo and coming and into our treatment plants. Yep. And so recycled water is very reliable. Desal, you look, for instance, at Saudi Arabia and those countries, they rely on it completely. So I'd argue, this is personal, this is not Yarra Valley or Vic Water, I'd say at the coastal Australia, we should not really ever have to think about restrictions, and we should actually be thinking about water abundance.
I agree.
Having enough water for our sporting fields, our gardens, for agriculture, for industry. Now, you don't have to use huge amounts of water.
Yep.
We could even use less water per capita if we've got efficient devices.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the desal plant... love it or like it, I think it's very necessary to keep us safe, particularly with an increasing population.
Yep. Now, but we still got off the track. How far before they could get into the pipes?
I think probably about 60 kilometres,
So on out of Melbourne.
But part of it now goes direct to Gippsland.
Right.
And I think some of it goes direct to Western Port Water.
Right.
So it's actually heading... sort of southeast.
Yeah.
So and then it comes into Cardinia Dam.
So So coming to Cardinia Dam, where did the water have to get piped to pick it up? I'm trying to get
from Wonthaggi.
Yeah.
There's a dedicated pipe that brings it into
but
Cardinia.
But it didn't go right up to Cardinia. Like there would have already been pipes along the way, wouldn't there?
But not that size of pipe.
Right.
Able to take the water. I might be wrong. Someone might ring in and say, Victor, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it's a dedicated pipe that brings it into the system. Yeah. And then from there, of course, it is channeled across and beyond. And, of course, nowadays there are connections to Geelong and the like.
So my next question is, I'm just still talking about the piping of it.
Yeah.
So... And I know I interviewed someone from Yarra Valley Water last year, and they were talking about they're always constantly looking at the conditions of the pipes and all that. So what I'm getting at here, the people who originally 100 years ago put those pipes down were far in excess of what our engineers of today are, weren't they?
They had such foresight.
That's what I mean.
To build those open catchments so that water we drink in Healesville or I drink in Port Melbourne, it comes from these beautiful mountain storages, very little treatment, gravity-fed.
Gravity-fed?
Gravity. It comes down via gravity. It's not till you get to the northern suburbs that you've got to apply some energy and push it uphill.
So all that was designed, like I know that the... dam up at Listerfield was only been built in the last 40 or 50 years or something, I don't know. But the foresight 100 years ago to put down all these pipes to be able to move water from dam to dam, I mean, you've only got to look at the roads today, and I'm not talking about the quality of them. Like, we built the Monash Freeway, I don't know, 50 years ago, and we still couldn't come up with, we came up with three, and now we've had to have five lanes. How did the people 100 years ago, the engineers, work out these are the size pipes we're going to need for 100 years? My mind boggles.
Yeah, well, I'm sometimes a bit cheeky. So one of the regulatory authorities, who will remain nameless, I had a meeting with them, and my son had just come back from Spain.
Right.
And he had sent me a picture of a Roman aqueduct that had serviced this town from 100 AD to today.
Till today.
And you look at the, obviously a lot of it is pipes and the like, but you look at these huge sort of bridge-like structures that the Romans built.
Yeah.
They haven't moved. The water is still flowing as it did in 100 AD. And for instance, you go to... In fact, I watched a wonderful program, Bettany Hughes. If any of your listeners are fans of Bettany Hughes and SBS... She's this wonderful, effervescent historian archaeologist. And she had a wonderful program on Oman.
Oh,
and she was showing the irrigation that is 2,500 years old that takes the water from the mountains to the oases to grow the product. So the engineers of 2,500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and in Melbourne, I actually think the genius was not the size of the pipe. The genius was protected open catchments that you and I are drinking rainwater can come down to Healesville with almost no treatment. You know, it's that good.
Terrific, isn't
it? And I love that notion. And so at Yarra Valley Water, we're often at the board. You know, we're asking the question, what is our legacy going to be?
Yep.
You know, because we're building nearly a new Canberra in the northern suburbs of Melbourne every 5 years.
Absolutely.
So we're having to put in new pipes. For those houses in the northern suburbs, they get a purple pipe.
I was going to ask you that. I've got to take a quick break. Look, I've got to take a quick break and we'll come back because I'm really keen to talk about that. Victor, just before that, I had to take that break. You mentioned recycle. Now, I don't know. If someone said to me this water came out the sewage plant 2 weeks ago, I'd be a bit worried. But one of the questions I was going to ask you, which you got onto, is can you ever see the day when all houses will have, say, a tap that out in the garden for watering the garden? And maybe something else in the house, but still have, so you'd have two taps side by side?
We already have that. So the new houses built in the northern suburbs, for instance, all have a purple tap.
Is that in every suburb or just the northern?
No, all new estates now.
Do they?
You've got a purple pipe and the water doesn't just service the garden, but, for instance, the laundry and the like. And, of course, you've got to ensure that the plumbers
Get it right.
And that's, there was one point where there were mistakes being made, so we had to up our level of inspection.
Right.
But it's a really good system. So our water, for instance, in the northern suburbs, it comes from our Wollert treatment plant, our Wallen treatment plant.
Yeah.
And so people get high quality recycled water that they can use. And you'd actually like the Wollert plant there because we've actually got the country's biggest waste-to-energy plant there.
Yeah.
Taking food waste and, like, creating electricity. And we've got the recycling And now we're experimenting with green hydrogen because we've got electricity from recycle and we've got recycled water and we can create hydrogen from that using Australian technology. The other thing that happens there you'd really love because this is community radio is that with the local community, we now provide water for gardening, horticultural, so people can come and grow vegetables. And it's done in partnership with Melbourne Polytechnic so that horticultural students can come out, you know, do their study there and also help to provide vegetables for poorer people who couldn't otherwise afford it. And the other thing we do out there is we've got an Aboriginal corporation that uses traditional means for looking after it because you need a, you know, where you've got a recycling plant, you've got to have a buffer zone.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the buffer zone, we maintain it through traditional burning methods and traditional Aboriginal care for country. And it's one of the things that Yarra Valley is really proud of, that one of our deep principles of strategy is care for country.
When you were talking before, you've mentioned treatment plants a couple of times. How many treatment plants are there in Victoria? Do you know?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Yep.
Be quite a few. Because, yeah, particularly in country areas, and particularly if you're on the Murray or the Goulburn or the like, you need to be pretty sure that the water going back into the streams is of top quality. And that's, you know, if we think about the Healesville plant, you know, the water going into the Yarra is of very high quality. And, you know, our other Upper Yarra plant, for instance, our workers were really, really clever. They said to us, can we use some of this water to restore pre-colonial food systems? So we've now got this 35-hectare site where we're planting the plants for them to provide the mountain pygmy possum and the helmeted honey eater with habitat.
I actually interviewed somebody from Yarra Valley Water all last year. They told us about that. at the moment, like, could you see, and this is fairly obviously, that as things progress, that all the sporting fields will be watered, but, you know, because there's a lot of water goes into particularly the cricket season. Could you say, because many of them on treated water yet?
A lot of them still take potable water because you've got to do an equation in the end.
Yep.
You know, what's the cost of piping it to a place? But a good example will be Doncaster Hill,
right,
where we've now got planning approval to build an underground recycling plant, a bit like the plant that's at the MCG. You know, when you go to the MCG and you park and there's these little glass things that look like a sort of Doctor Who cabinet, it actually treats wastewater and provides the water to the MCG and the gardens there. So Doncaster Hill will be doing a similar thing where we'll be recycling the water. Some of the water will go back into the purple pipe, but others of it will go to providing water for sporting fields. And that's why, you know, when you remember the Millennium Drought, right, one of the problems was that people couldn't even play football because the ground was too dry. That should never happen again. We should always have enough water to keep our sporting facilities to a reasonable standard.
Got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
You were just something to do. You with your issues, it ain't even cute. Always a bad attitude. Thought it was me, but it's you. Always bending the rules, twisting the truth, oh, like I was a fool. But baby, I already knew. And really, there ain't no excuse. You made me feel bad. Tell me who loves like that. I'm not even mad. So thanks for the lessons. Now leave with my blessing. I don't care enough to hate you. I'm just unbothered. Unbothered. No bad blood. I'm so over us. Unbothered. Unbothered.
Thought I would always be mad. Remember how I threw your things in a bag and told you to call up a cab
and never come back.
And now that I see you again, I can see nothing has changed on your end. Living in your Neverland, like you're some messed up Peter Pan. And it's kinda sad. Tell me who loves like that. So now I just laugh and say thanks for the lessons. Move on with my blessing.
Victor, now just tell us, I had a press release this morning come out, and it's on Facebook, about they're doing an upgrade, the Healesville Treatment Plant. Now, I believe there are people from Yarra Valley Water going to be down the street either today or tomorrow, are they?
Yeah, so people who were shopping at Coles,
yep.
You might have seen them yesterday. They were set up yesterday, and I'm pretty yep. sure they're going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
If not tomorrow, it'll be Friday.
Yep.
And there'll be a Yarra Valley stand for people to come and chat. Yep. About the expansion we're doing at the treatment plant.
Right.
And as I said earlier, I mean, last time we were together, I was there inspecting the poo and the pee of people from Healesville and talking to our staff, who are absolutely yep. fantastic there. We're going to be expanding it. We're going to be modernising it. And yep. so people can either look on Facebook or they can just, if they just do a Google or whatever they do to search, yep. just if they do Healesville sewage treatment and Yarra Valley Water, they'll go straight to the website.
Or they can go onto Facebook.
Yeah, and it's got the questions that people ask already, so
yep.
your question might already be answered on the website, or there's a phone number and an email there
yep.
If you've got any deeper questions. And I'd probably encourage the school teachers and the like to get their kids thinking about it, because it's probably a good idea to think about where your poo and your pee goes to.
I've got to ask you, what's been the advancement in the treatment? Like, you've been involved with Yarra Valley Water for a few years. We're obviously continually improving treatment, aren't we?
Yeah, so there's different methods. I mean, if you've got a plant that you've already built,
yep.
You're not going to advance it very much.
Aren't you?
One of the things, of course, that has changed over the time I've been there is this problem of wet wipes. So some of your listeners yep. may have gone to the Melbourne Museum
yep.
and seen the fat ball
yep.
that we, or fat berg that yep. we donated.
Right.
So what happens is someone uses a wet wipe and puts it down the toilet rather yep. than in the bin.
Yep.
It can catch on the pipes. The pipes were never designed to have wet wipes, and they then catch, this is a bit unpleasant,
yep.
but the normal body fats and the like
yep.
that go down the toilet or the shower
yep.
then catches and builds up. So what we've had to do is...
Just interrupt for half a tick. I was down in Leongatha on Monday, and they've, in all their public toilets, they tell you don't put them down, and they say in London, the water board in London takes equivalent to a double-decker bus out of their system yeah. every year.
Yeah. And that might be just one fatberg in their pipe system, one fatberg. So it can block up the whole system. And, of course, what you don't want yep. is it blocking up a pipe
yep.
And sewage spilling out.
Goes everywhere.
So if I can, again, encourage, particularly if you've got children or grandchildren you're listening, that rule that there's only three things that go down, which is pee, poo and paper. Everything else needs to go in the bin. Please.
Yeah.
So one of the things we've had to do at our treatment plants is have filters. So it actually captures the stuff that comes in before it goes into the pools.
Yep.
To be cleaned up, and it goes through. In this plant here, the main filtration looks a bit like a swimming pool filter.
Oh, does it?
So it sort of bubbles up through the sand system, and that captures the solids, and then it goes through a light radiation system. Yep. It comes out. You could if you lived in Sudan or Somalia, you'd gratefully drink what is coming out of our treatment
plant.
Would
you? Mm. So, obviously, it's changed over the years, hasn't it? Like, if 20 years ago, or when you first started doing it, it wouldn't have come out as pure as what it was now, would it?
So I think the system's continuously improving. And, you know, we talked about my work at the Intelligent Water Network. There we're now experimenting with a thing called nanobubbles. And the idea is to capture, the stuff that's coming out of people's washing machines. So a lot of clothing these days has got microplastics in it.
Yep.
So if you can capture that at the treatment plant rather than have it enter the waterways, and that's a big problem in Europe. I mean, if you live in England, the chances are the water you're drinking has been through seven sets of kidneys before it gets to you.
Yeah.
So Australia, it's not such a big problem.
Yeah.
But that's what we're looking at now. How do we modernise? So as we're planning this expansion in Healesville, it'd be really good to get feedback and also to get people thinking about the stuff, the new contaminants. So I think one thing that 10 years ago when I started, but 40 years ago when we built the plant, the amount of medication people take. Antidepressants getting into the water system.
Yeah.
And it impacts on fish and mammals, anti-anxiety drugs. So the stuff that people are not chucking it down the toilet.
No, it's
coming through our bodies.
It's going through the system.
And so that's a new problem, the amount of medication that is going into the system. Yep. The other one is a really wicked problem, and that is cosmetics. People washing their cosmetics off into the water system, and that, of course... Yeah, there's more and more of that.
Yep.
So cosmetics and pharmaceuticals and, of course, the new fabrics and the microplastics in those. Yep. I think one of the things we'd love the people of Healesville to think about is how can I make sure that the water that's going to the treatment plant actually looks better? And it's probably a good project for schools, both primary and secondary, to have a bit of a think about that as we're consulting.
Because you think of the rubbish that you were talking about, the bergs and all that sort of stuff, but you don't sort of think of, and I guess apart from everything else, illegal drugs would be part of it, wasn't it?
Because pharmaceuticals are bigger.
Yeah.
So we can actually measure. So the federal police, the government can actually have a look at the sort of drugs people are taking. In Sydney, there's a lot more cocaine. Melbourne, there's a lot more heroin.
Yep.
Country towns, there's a lot more MDMA.
Yeah.
So you can check that. However, the bigger problem is...
The legal drugs.
The legal drugs. So Australia now has the highest rate of antidepressant medication in the world.
Oh, that's terrible.
So if one in five of the people in this district are taking an antidepressant, a big portion of that goes through their body into the sewage system. It's not absorbed, and therefore, it's one of those things. It's a challenge. Europe has just tried to pass some legislation trying to deal with it. But the whole world's trying to deal with this increased level of medication.
Okay, one more quick break and we'll be back with more from Victor. And I'm talking to Victor Purton, and he's talking all things water. It's been fascinating because particularly his last little segment where he's telling us about all the antidepressants and that, which we can't do much about. If you're taking them, you should keep taking them. Don't think that we're trying to put you off them. But obviously the water people need to try and find ways of getting some of this stuff out of the system. The treatment, the water that's coming out the treatment plants, apart, I know that you're saying they're going into these purple pipes and that, but you're fairly confident, aren't you, that a lot of people could drink that without any...
Oh, no, I wouldn't encourage them to do that.
No, I don't mean...
The health department will prosecute me if I say that.
No, I didn't mean that, but I mean, I phrased it wrongly. You're saying that the quality of is high quality that's coming out the treatment plant.
Yes.
Let me put it that way.
Very high quality, and yep. it's obviously a pollutant. You know, if you've got human poo and pee and all of the drugs we take, et cetera, it is going to be a pollutant.
Yep.
However, in Australia, our standards are so high that it's pretty good, and it will get better and better. And that's one of the reasons we're upgrading the Healesville sewage treatment plant, and that's why we'd love the feedback of people. So, no, I mean, you think about it. I remember going to Rio de Janeiro and going swimming and realising I was swimming in other people's sewage, you know. And remember, Sydney's had this problem for a long time, you know, discharge of sewage straight in the sea.
Yep.
Whereas Melbourne, we've been astonishingly, like you talked about the dams and the open catchments and, you know, that Healesville, the second best tasting water in the country. Yep. And at the other end, the Werribee treatment plant, you know, the water going into the bay from there is almost pure.
And I can remember, and it's not that many, it's a fair while ago, but a lot of the houses along the Yarra, particularly even Toorak, which was an affluent society, they were their waste went straight into the Yarra.
Well, I'm glad you used affluent rather than effluent.
I should have.
Well, that old joke about the rich and thick of society.
I don't want to get some of your mates offside, but that's true. There was no treatment on some of that. I mean, it's changed now, and it changed a long while ago. But in the early days, and it happened a lot up around the country, as you said, straight into the rivers.
Yeah, and stormwater. I mean, stormwater is the problem.
Yep.
So I live at Port Melbourne, so, you know, after heavy rain, I get an SMS from the EPA that says, don't go swimming.
Yep.
But most of them, I find it amazing that 5 million people or 5.5 million people living in Melbourne around the bay, and you can go swimming in the bay 95% of the time.
Yep.
And, you know, where I live in Port Melbourne, I'm in between the station pier and the container port.
Oh, yeah.
The water is crystal clear.
Yeah.
You know, the sand is clean. So I think, you know, it started under Dick Hamer and Henry Bolte.
Yep.
You know, we built the world's second EPA, Environment Protection Authority.
Yep.
And I think it has served us really, really well.
Yep.
And as I said, I think, you know, when I look at what Yarra Valley Water delivers in Healesville, you know, world services, you know, that keep our health going.
Yep.
When I think of the work I do at Vic Water, you know, looking right across the state and right across the country, I just see remarkable collaboration. And then what I love about being at the Intelligent Water Network and being the ambassador is these new technologies, the use of artificial intelligence and drones to see that our dams are well serviced.
I don't think you mentioned on air, but you mentioned to me that once upon a time, you'd have to send divers down for days on end, but now you don't do that, do you?
Some divers. Funny, I met the divers the other day and I said, what do you think of AI and robots? And they said, oh, no.
Yeah.
You still need us, you know, because we've got human instinct.
Yep.
So I think that is a strong point. The other thing, I was the keynote speaker at the Water Operators Conference and there was a guy displaying new AI signalling devices.
Right.
And I said, oh, we'll be able to analyse that. No, he said, the most important thing is this signals to a person to go there.
Yeah,
so I think when I think about Yarra Valley Water, our most important thing is not the infrastructure. It's our people. They're really, really passionate about delivering.
But going back to what you said a minute ago, though, the actual people are the best, but the more information you can give them, the better their decisions are going to be, aren't they?
Yeah, and we put probes into the sewage pipes.
Yep.
So that we know if stuff's going wrong.
Yep.
We nowadays, for the other pipes, we actually put robots down.
Do you?
And that they video the integrity of the pipe. And, you know, you just imagine, you know, if you're a man or woman having to look at sewage for 8 hours, it'll drive you nuts.
Yep.
The AI can analyse the video and tell you where the anomalies appear.
Oh, so you don't have to have someone sitting in front of the
video.
Screen.
There's still an operator.
Yeah.
But the robot, you know, sprints around, videos everything.
Yep.
And then the AI analyses the same sort of stuff that's happening now in cancer.
Yep.
Probes, you know, women's breast cancer and the like.
Yep.
A lot of companies are now using AI because it is more accurate than the human eye.
Yep.
And so the same thing's happening with sewage pipes.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Victor, look, it's been a fascinating conversation. I hark back and I've said it a couple of times. We don't give any thought to water until it's not there. Or, well, we've been lucky. We've never had a stage where there was no water. But I can remember, you know, we weren't allowed to do anything. and basically, what was it? If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. So that's how bad we were for water. We couldn't even, if you went and had a pedal, you couldn't use the water. And I think it's...
Well, unless you had lemon trees.
Yeah, I can't top that. Thank you for coming again. It's always a joy to have you. As Kate said to me, you're the most positive man I've ever met as well. And it's no good me saying to you, have a great day, because I'm sure you'll go out and make it a great day for yourself and everybody you come in contact with.
I said to my sister today, I'm going to be spending an hour with Alan. I am just going to love it and enjoy it. So I smelt a yellow rose as I left home.
Yeah.
And that aroma has stayed with me in
the
studio.
I don't know where you live, but I've seen some photos that you've put up of your roses, and that you've really done a great job. Victor, again, I've got to go, but thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to talking to you again.
I look forward to it.
At least either tomorrow or Friday down out the front of Coles.
Yeah, outside of Coles. But you can do it on – most people these days want to do it on Facebook or – on the website, so you can
Facebook
see everything
is up
about
there
it
today. Go to Yarra Valley Water. I saw it just before we came on air. Thanks, Victor.